so much more. So let's read about it. This is known as the chapter in Romans where much more is used, more than once, much more than once. So look at verse 9 of chapter 5 of the book of Romans. If you don't have your Bible, you will be able to read on the board behind me. But if you do, let's begin, because it begins with much more. You like that? Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, what's the next two words? Much more, yeah. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. I'll explain that in a minute. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, next two words, much more, the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, y'all catch on so quick. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, I'm going ahead. I think he only put up to 20, but I'm going to read this last verse. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we're going to ask the Lord's blessings on this spiritual meal. This is good food. This is good for our spiritual lives. It's going to be good for tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. The Word of God is always fresh and refreshing to our lives. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us the time, the opportunity, Lord, to be here today, to get into your word, and Lord, to get a message from you that will change our lives this next week, to be much more than we have ever been in our lives. We just thank you, God, for your precious word, because it changes our lives daily. Thank you for everyone who's here, and I pray, God, that no one leaves saying, I'm not changed, I'm not different. I just pray, oh God, that all of us leave better than when we came. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. because this is a worship time. This is where we. It's not about who you're sitting beside of, or in front of, or behind. It's about you personally taking a look at your relationship with the Lord and deciding what we're going to do with what He's given us. It is so good to see Linda and Ron back today. I was so happy. We're slowly getting our people back that have been out sick, and we're just thrilled to death to see you back with us today, okay? And good to see my buddy Bobby. Now, Louie's had to drag him here, but that's okay. Bobby, I'm just kidding you, buddy. Bobby and Louie's, my special buddies. I'm looking back through the congregation to see if there's someone. Barb, good to see you. Always good. She's my cousin and my sister. And I'm not from Alabama. Okay? Now, if there's anybody here from Alabama, just forget that statement, okay? But I'm just looking back to see who Rita is. Good to see Rita. Yeah, if I missed you, forgive me. My eyesight's failing in my older age. I got to go to the doctor and get them redone so I can see everybody, right? Okay. Now, if I were to tell you that I love you, some of you would say, I love you more. Yeah, more. I knew you'd. I love you more. That's just something we do now. It's kind of a fad. It'll wear off. We'll find something else to say in the months and years to come. But a lot of people say that, and some people mean it. I don't know how they can actually mean it, because they don't know how much I love them, but they say I love you more. And that makes me feel good, though. Would you always say that to me if I tell you I love you? Will you always tell me that? It makes me feel really good to know that you love me more. And I'll try to remember to say it to you, okay? And that way we'll know who loves who and who loves who more. God's the only one who can say, honestly say, I love you more. He is. He's the only one. And I hope and pray today that you feel that you know that God is the only one who can tell you, because He really does, He loves you more than anything or anybody ever could love you. His love did so much for us. And when you read the Word of God, you'll find out that His love planned my redemption. He didn't just get up one day with a thought and say, I'm going to redeem mankind. No, it was His love that did it. Because the three famous words that we know of in the Bible that we can actually memorize is, God is love. God is love. And there are so many scriptures that tell us how much He loved us. And I'll get into a couple of those in a minute. How much He loved us. But His love did everything for us. He did what He did for us because He loved us. So He planned that one day I would be redeemed. I would belong to Him. I would not belong to myself. He would pay all the prices for it. That His love guarantees me that I have eternal security with Him in heaven. I have that. And the reason I have that is because He actually loved me. His love gave His Son to die. Y'all know that verse of Scripture. His love gave His Son to die. It didn't just happen. He did it for a reason. And one of these days, and I know that some of you are looking forward to that day, one of these days His love is going to actually open the gates of heaven and welcome His children on in. That's going to happen. That's because He loves you. He didn't leave the plan unfinished. He finished it all the way to the end. So one of these days you're going to walk in to heaven's portals, and it's going to be simply because by His love He planned the whole thing. And He did this by giving us a gift. And that's where John 3:16 comes in. For God so loved. Do me a favor, and I want you to say it loud enough for me to hear it. I want you to put your name where we say the world, okay? For God so loved, I heard so many names. So many names. And you say, well, how can God keep all of our names separate? How can He know all that? Because He does. And He loves every one of you by name. You said your name. He knows your name. He knew your name long before you ever knew your name. He knew your name long before your parents ever got the book out and said, what are we going to call this one? I don't know what my dad and mom would have said, but I'm sure they... I know one thing. My mom didn't have any imagination because she didn't even give me a middle name. I mean, everywhere I go, they would say, what's your middle name? And I say, I don't have one. And but my older brother, by the time Dave and Tom came along, she had found out that there were really middle names, but not for the first two. But that's okay. If I were ever going to get my name changed at the courthouse, I would want my middle name to be Lee. Say that. Doesn't that sound good? Daniel Lee. Oh, man, that would have been so good. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to say, Mom, why didn't you call me Daniel Lee? But He gave me the best thing He could ever give me, and that was the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. And it made a difference in my life. And He did this unconditional. He never said, now if you'll do this, I'll do this. He never said that ever. He just gave His Son. He gave His Son for you. You didn't have to do one thing for His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on an old rugged cross so that you could one day believe in Him and have eternal life with Him in heaven. Not one thing. It was very unconditional. And by the way, there is no comparison either. I want to go back just a second, and I'm going to take time to do this. Because in verse 6, He says this, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. In other words, when I couldn't do a thing for myself, it didn't matter that I realized I needed a way to heaven. It didn't matter. I didn't have the strength to do anything. That's what He's saying right here. I didn't have the ability. I didn't have the mental capacity. I didn't have any of it. But because He knew that, He died for me. And then in verse 7 it says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Now I'm not going to ask you who would die for who in here today, because your children might be sitting there. You say, I'd die for my children. Or I'd die for my husband, my wife. I would die for my friend. I would die for them. But here's what He says. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure. Now I've read that years and years and years. And one day I thought, you know, I really don't know what peradventure means. And if I were to ask you what peradventure means, would anybody be able to tell me what peradventure means? Now, if you knew, you'd holler it out right now, because this would be your shining hour. You would be the rock star today, right? You know what it means? Perhaps. Somebody Googled it real quick. Maybe. Perhaps or maybe. If by chance. Thank you, Tom. That's another way. If by chance or maybe. Wouldn't you like to live like that? Not me. But He says, yet peradventure, if by chance or maybe, a good man would, some would even dare to die. Really? But God, man, I love this part. Maybe we would, maybe we wouldn't. By some chance, maybe one would. No, but then it says in the very next verse, but God commendeth His love toward us. Who's us? Good question, right? Us. Us. You and me. That makes us. Yeah, you and us, the saved. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were not saved, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? He died for us. He died for us. When I didn't have a reason to have whatever he was giving me, he died for me. I'm going to show you something real good about that here in just a minute. You see, because there's no comparison to his love. You cannot compare your love to your boyfriend, girlfriend, children, husband, wife, aunts, uncles, cousins. You can't compare to his love. There is no comparison. He tells us that right there. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But maybe one of us would die for a good friend. Not likely, but maybe. I want to go through these verses of Scripture, and I want to pull some things out for you today so that you can take it home with you. And I don't want you to take it home and not put it up where it will be seen. I want you to make notes, put it on the refrigerator so that you'll remind yourself tomorrow when you get up. You won't have to say, now what in the world did Dan Foster preach on yesterday morning? You'll have a note that really could change your life, and you're going to put it up where you can read it. I want you to do that. Take at least one note. If you're good at memorizing or remembering, take a mental note. It'll be okay. But during this whole message today, if something just really hits you and you say, wow, you write that down, because I want you to see it tomorrow and the next day. I don't want it just to be a today thing. But God's love was provided for us by one who loved us. And we find that in verses 9 and 10. And what a love it is. I would not be able to tell you how much it is. He can say, I love you more. I can't tell you how much more. I can just say in my own words, what a love. Oh, what a love that he gave me. Oh, what a peace in my soul. What a love. And I want you to see that love today. You see, the death of Jesus reconciled us. And this is what the scriptures say in verses 9 and 10. The death of Jesus reconciled us to God, knowing that we were his enemy. Now, I used the word sinner a few minutes ago because he uses that word. But the sinner is God's enemy. If you're here today in this congregation of people, you're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose. God knew this message was going to be here. So if you're lost today, you're not ready to go to heaven, I want you to pay close attention, okay? This is a very personal thing just between you and God. It's not between this congregation and you. It's between you and God. And you're going to have to answer some questions today, okay? Because the questions are here. If you're lost, if you're a sinner today, you're an enemy to God. Now, we do say that we're sinners saved by grace. All of us are sinners. That means there's no one here above anybody else. If you haven't accepted Christ today, then you're going to hell. That's pretty blunt. Don't know any other way to say it, okay? But if you're saved today, where are you going? Say it loud. Because that's where you want to go, right? There's two kinds of people in the world. Saved and lost. There isn't any in between, folks. I wish that it were so that I could give you that warm and fuzzy in between gray area and you could still have some way to get to heaven, but I can't. I wouldn't be honest with you. It wouldn't be right for me to tell you that you can do your own thing in this world and go on to heaven, because this wasn't written for that. God's word is not here for you to read and then do your own thing anyway. It is a manual for life. It is the rule of life. It is the law of life. It is. And so if we're going to live by it, we've got to know the person whom it's all about. And that's Jesus Christ. So the death of Jesus Christ, the death. Now, we'll talk about his life in a second, because that's where the much more comes in. When we talk about his death, we see him hanging on an old rugged cross. Why would he? Do you believe he died at a cross on Golgotha? Do you believe he did that? Now, if you don't believe he did that, then you're stopped right there. You can't go any farther. You've got to believe that he died, and he died for you. I can say he died for me, but you have to stick with you, okay? He died for you. He hanged on that old rugged cross for you. So the death of Jesus reconciled us back to God. That's what he did. You see, when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, he cut the line between man and God. There was a problem, and sin was the problem. Now, there is a sin of commission and a sin of omission. You commit sin or you omit things that become sin also. So we know there are two different types of sin. But you see, what happened was when man sinned, he cut the line between man and God. So when Jesus Christ died on this old rugged cross, he reconciled man back to God. He gave us a way to get back to God. And aren't you glad he did? I'm glad he did, because I now have that life of salvation because of that. Much more is the key word here. Much more we being reconciled. Now here's the reconciled person. The death was before he did that so that we could be reconciled. Now you want to know the much more. The much more we being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life, not by his death. Why would he die, resurrect, and then go back to heaven? He did that so that all of us could believe in him for our salvation, and we would have so much more. Isn't it good that we have so much more? Because that's what this whole chapter is about, is that not only can we have the knowledge that we are reconciled back to God the Father by his death, but by his life, we could have so much more. I live on the side of so much more. So if you see me out in this community and I don't look like I have so much more in my saved life, you notify me, okay? You could smack me upside the head and get my attention if you want to. It'll be okay, because I live on that side. And if I live on that side of so much more, my life should show that. There should be something about my demeanor that says to you there's something special in that life, and that something special is not Dan Foster. That something special is Jesus Christ, the one who died for me, whom I'm allowing to show through me, and he shows the spirit of love, meekness, kindness. We know the fruits, right? If the fruits of the Spirit are not coming through, folks, then he's not being shown through our lives. So much more is what he's doing here. And by his life, we can do that. In other words, if God's love reached us before we were saved, and when we were in our sins, we needed to be reconciled, how much more now when we are so vitally linked to him? How much more is God going to do for us since we are linked together? How much more is he going to do? We're linked to his son. His son in whom he was well pleased. Man, how good is that? So, do we have his love provided for us? We do, in verses 9 and 10. But let's go on down just a little bit, because there's problems here. Y'all like to hear about problems, don't you? If I did, I wouldn't ask any of you, because I got a feeling that some of you would have an all-day sermon outlined for me with your problems, okay? Elvis used to sing about that. Don't tell me your troubles. I got troubles of my own. Don't tell me your troubles. Just leave me alone. Y'all know about that. Now, see, I have to make you smile every now and then. Sin is a problem, folks. Now, you know what? We're living in a world where about everything that happens is taking away the fact that sin is there and sin is a problem for us. If you got to recognize this. Sin is a problem for mankind, because sin is not going to heaven. You say, but now wait a minute, Christians sin too. I know that, but you're not taking it to heaven, Because you see, there's a difference here. We sin in this life we live here. This man is not the body with a spirit. Man is a spirit with a body. When you die, if you've been saved, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you die, your spirit's gone out of here. It's gone to heaven. Your body stays here. You're gone. Now, but this is the problem, and it's always been a problem since Adam did it to us. He did. It's what the Bible's saying here. It's telling us very plainly. In verses 12 through 14, he tells us the problem. Now, I don't know that I'm going to go back and read it. I'm just going to tell you what's in there, okay, in those verses. You can go back and read them for yourself. Y'all have heard about the presence of sin, the penalty of sin, and the power of sin, right? And as Christians, we're saved from the presence of sin. The penalty of sin. But does the power of sin still occasionally seep in and we are not where we ought to be? Yeah, because the only time that you will be saved from the power of sin will be when you get to heaven. Are you with me? But we got to know that sin is a problem. It's a huge problem. You see, because the Bible says here that sin entered into the world. Sin didn't enter into the world to cause you good times. Sin entered into the world to give you bad times. It will absolutely destroy your personal life. It will absolutely destroy the life of your family. It will absolutely destroy the life of your church family. It will. It's a terrible, terrible disease. It come in as something that CDC, is that the place down in Atlanta, for communicative diseases? Y'all know about that. That's what it came in as, folks. And I'm telling you, no one's exempt from this. Everybody caught this disease, the presence of sin. When it came in, everybody caught it. The penalty of sin. We all know what the penalty of sin is. The penalty of sin is death. Well, has man been dying? Oh, yeah, since the beginning, man has died. Since now, it wasn't supposed to be that way. You know that. When Adam and Eve were created in the Garden of Eden, that wasn't supposed to be that way. Sin caused man to die. And it's happened ever since. Now, when he talks about the law in here, and that sin was before the law, I'm gonna share a thought or two with you on that, because you need to know that before Moses ushered in the law, sin was already there. That's what this scripture says. And we know that the penalty of sin is death. But if that was after the law was ushered in, you see, man would not have been guilty or felt the guilt or the blame had there not been a law for what was going on. In other words, if they put a red light down here on the corner and you didn't have a clue what a red light was, or you can call it a stoplight or a go light or a slow down light, whatever you want to call it. But if they put a light out there and nobody understood what a red light was, what the red meant, what the green meant, what the yellow meant, you didn't know a thing about that, would you stop? Probably not. Probably not. Well, you see, the law was that if you sinned, you'd die. But you see, the law didn't come until Moses. Well, now, something's going on here. Did God understand that? Of course he did, because man immediately began to die. You know why? Because God told Adam, this is what's going to happen. This wasn't the law of Moses that Moses ushered in. This was the law of God that he said, if you do this, you'll surely die. So man has died ever since. And it's not going to go away. But the power of sin, one of these days we'll be free from that, folks. So much more God has for us. So much more. Look at verse 15. If you'll go back there with me, I would like for you to do that. In verse 15, he talks about something that is near and dear to my heart, and that is the amazing grace of God. Have you noticed, any of y'all ever watched the musical talent shows on TV? Seems like every year when they're doing this, somebody on there sings Amazing Grace. Have you ever noticed that? Because it's one of the prettiest songs ever written, and it's a truth that will never die. Amazing grace of God is always going to be the amazing grace of God. And here in verse 15, he's telling us about this amazing grace, which is so much more. He says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Didn't deserve it, but he gave it anyway. That's grace. For if through the offense of one many be dead, and that was Adam. Adam's offense caused your family members to die. Don't you have a problem with Adam now? But you can't hate him. You know, we can't do that, but boy, can we point a finger at him. Because we have to experience death over and over and over because of Adam, first man Adam. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God. Aren't you glad that when you were sentenced to die and go to hell, that the grace of God would come on the scene? He did that for us. Much more he gave us. That the grace of God would come on the scene, and his gift by grace, which was his Son, which is by one man, Jesus Christ. That's where Jesus Christ becomes the second man, Adam. Adam was a type of what Jesus was going to be. So we have the second man. Adam didn't do us a favor. But when Jesus came on the scene, he changed the whole thing, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. I experience the grace of God because of what Jesus Christ did. Sin was a problem. Sin is a problem. Sin will always be a problem. And if you never recognize the politics of our country, our state, and our local governments bringing in more things that just add problems for people, I'm not going to go into the list. I'm letting you think right now. The things that we bring in because of money, everybody wants more money, everybody wants more tax dollars. And folks, the love of money is the root of all evil. Did anybody ever tell us that? God's Word told us that. We got to know that. Do I want you to work and make as much money as you can? Yes, if you're a tither. I knew I'd get your attention there. Well, of course you want to make as much as you can so that you can have the things you would like to have for your family and yourself and the comfort. That's fine. Don't love it. Don't fall in love with it. Because when you fall in love with money, nobody else will matter. I don't care. Your family, your best friend, nobody will matter. Love will trump that every time. Because you see it as your connection to life. It is what's going to... It's not. It's not. You can lose everything you've got in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. In the 30s, people were jumping off of tall hotels and motels because they lost every penny they had. Why would they do that? Because they thought that was their life. They could just see their future going away. It was gone. They had no reason to live. Well, goodness gracious, is that what life is all about? No, absolutely not. But when you love it, it will be. That won't cost you a dime. The Lord just gave me that to tell you. Didn't plan to go there, but God led me there. Maybe you might be leaning that way. Don't lean that way, okay? Okay, I'm going to look in here in these verses of Scripture in verse 15, 16, 17, 18, and I want to give you some so much mores, okay? Y'all like those much mores, don't you? I love the much mores. God's gift of grace, which is the one I'm on now, God's gift of grace releases me from what sin caused me. Sin caused me to lose everything. Did you know that sin is a bankrupter? It is a spiritual bankrupter. I don't know if that's a good word or not. Rupter? Bankrupter? I guess it is. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We all know what bankruptcy is. Many people have had to take bankruptcy because it's a law for the people. It wasn't made for people to escape the law. It was made for people who needed it for the release of a pressure that's on them that they just simply can't live with. And many people in my family and your family and have used that law. And it's a good law. It is. But nobody likes to be in the position where they say, I'm bankrupt. What about if you were spiritually bankrupt? Well, you were. You were. You didn't have a spiritual dime to your name. And then the God of heaven said, I've got to fund them. They're spiritually bankrupt. And so he gave us the gift. Woo! Mercy. If you had been financially bankrupt, wouldn't it have been good for somebody to come in and give you a huge gift and take up the slack? It would. Well, sin caused you to be spiritually bankrupt, but God, by his grace and his mercy, has given us a way out. Much more, he says, much more. God's gift releases us from something else in verse 16. Releases us from a thing that I really do not like dealing with. How many of y'all like to be blamed? Come on now. You like to be blamed? You know, one of the things I do when I counsel mostly young people who are running into relationship problems is that they want to blame each other. You know, they're the one. And we know that you have to get past that before you can come together. You can't point fingers. If you point fingers, you can point fingers until the cows come home. Right? Because you're right. Come on now. Because when you're in that conversation, you're the one who's right because you're the one who's blaming. You may be the total one that it's all happening. You might be that. But still, you're going to blame because you got to take some of that off of you and put it on somebody else. Am I speaking the truth? Yeah, it's what it is. Blame is a terrible thing. It is terrible. That's why I say do not point fingers. Don't blame anybody. Let's get to the problem first and see where we're going from there. And I would say to you that blame is a huge thing. But more, much more, God's gift of Jesus Christ releases us from the blame. Satan, once you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, Satan can't point his finger at you and blame you. He can't do it. You're without that blame. He has released you from that. You know why? Because when you got saved, you're justified before the eyes of God. Jesus Christ is your justification. And justified just means just as if I'd never sinned. That's what it is. You're justified. There is no blame on you because he's released you that. Oh, but much more, he goes on in verse 17. Much more, God's gift releases me from the bondage of the worst enemy and the last enemy that we have. And what is that? Death. The last enemy that we face is death. And if I know every one of us would say, yes, that's it. We don't want to face that, do we? It is an enemy. It is an enemy to man. But did you know that when you got saved, he released you from that death enemy that you have? Much more he did that. Because you see, verse 17, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. So did he take it away? He said, yes, it's there, but then he took it away because he gave us the gift, and everything in here today has to do with the gift of Jesus Christ because he gave us that because he loves us. Much more he loves us. He's the only one who can say, I love you more. Much more. Much more. Good news of our complete salvation is just too good. So Paul actually repeats it again in verse 18 and 19. Read it for yourself when you get a chance. Because it was so good, he said, this is so good, I'm going to tell them again. And if you think sometimes a preacher's repeating himself because he doesn't know any better, no, it's because the Bible states it sometimes two or three times so that we can make sure and get it. And in verse 18 and 19, he repeats himself and tells us how complete our salvation is and how so much more God loves us that he gave us that completed. Now, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I got to tell you this little story. I'm not one for telling stories but I got to tell you this one because, man, was it good. And it was really my reason for bringing this. I do know how to Google, just in case you're wondering. But I got to share this with you because this is an illustration that goes perfectly with this message today. There was a man of simple means and mental abilities one day who got a desire to cut out photos and put verses or poems with that photo that would tell another person what he sees in that photo. I thought, what a good idea for me. But he would cut out many, many photos, and he'd put verses and poems with them, and he'd give them out. But he got a picture one time of Niagara Falls. How many of y'all been there? I see two or three, four or five. If you get a chance, go. I went up a few years ago on a motorcycle trip, and it was absolutely great. I've seen the falls in a picture before, but until I got down on the water and got in the boat to go toward the falls, I didn't realize the amount of water that comes over those falls. It's a mountain of water. So when he got this picture, he never could find anything that went with it. And for years, he went on holding this picture, wishing that something would come along whereby he could do this. And then finally one day, he ran across a hymn written by this man. And here is the hymn of by which I brought on my little Samsung. And the hymn goes like this. Have you on the Lord believed? Still there's much more to follow. Of his grace have you received? Still there's more to follow. Oh, the grace the Father shows, still there's more to follow. Freely he his grace bestows, still there's more to follow. More and more and more and more, always more to follow. Oh, his matchless, bounteous love, still there's more to follow. So he put that with the picture of the Niagara Falls. And if you ever go to Niagara Falls, you'll see why he did. There's more to follow. So much more. So you know what he named this photo? More to follow. And I would say to you, if you're sitting here this morning, and this is the last thing I'm going to say to you today. If you're here, sitting here this morning, and you've been wondering about what your relationship is with God, and you're not sure if you could say, if I died today, I'd go to heaven, I want you to really give it thought, because the Holy Spirit of God is touching your heart. See, he's not touching your head. We'll let the schools do that. He touches the hearts. And he's touching your heart today and letting you know that there's something more than just a temporary life here. There is an eternal life involved in this, which is so much more, isn't it? Your eternal life. And he wants you to accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior and what he did at Calvary. And if you'll do that, you'll find out then that there's so much more. So much more. Let us pray. I'm going to give an invitation. And if you've come to that conclusion,